here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, you silly little flim, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I know it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine, but...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
We're just 30 days from the election, and I am also 30 days from every 2 years I decide to retire. I'm like, I'm going to quit. So November 7th, you're going to hear from me complaining. I'm going to quit. Just frazzled. I can't take it no more. I'm done. I'm going to go find a job in the bank, the laundromat, something. But, but there's times like this. Today, we've got a special, we're going to do something different. I'm going to have he's also a special guest, but a sitting-in, co-hosting, if you will, is one of my good buddies for many years here in San Leandro. He's an entrepreneur. He's a visionary, inventor. Community activist and heartthrob with all the ladies.
Basketball. You didn't mention basketball.
And former basketball player, Craig Williams. Thanks for coming in, man. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, they really are. And I think you're the guy who's going to bring up issues that a lot of people don't like to bring up. That's very interesting.
That's what I do. And that's what happens. The back and forth. And then I just like, I can't take it no more. Craig, I got 23 races to follow. I don't got no time for people lying to me. You know what I mean? I just want to see what the news is, gather the information, ask you this, ask them this, give me the quote, and I write it, and I press send, and I start over again. I got no time for this stuff. You know, Craig, do I look stressed?
Yeah, you do. But, you're so prolific. I mean, you must write 1,000 words a day. How many?
Oh, no, more than that. More than that.
When are you going to start writing novels? Or
That's a hard thing, man. Or
books.
I've thought about it. But, the problem is that whole world you got to create in your mind. And then, if I think it through, it's like every time you change one character, you change the whole thing. It just seems like too much work.
Yeah, maybe it is. But you could do nonfiction.
I do have not a screenplay, but like a TV pilot, like I've written.
No kidding.
It's about kind of this stuff here. And it all started with this candidate who's actually running in Oakland again. And I would see him 4 years ago. He'd never participate in anything, but he'd be at all the events. And he'd have these fairly attractive, women, older, a little older, maybe about late 30s, 40s, and I thought of this idea, like, wouldn't it be funny, a campaign, as a harem as a campaign. Like, this guy has running the campaign, and all the people working in the campaign are part of his harem. Because that's
entourage.
What it looked like.
It'd be an entourage.
Yeah.
Feminine entourage.
Yeah, and I thought that would be funny, and so I just went from there. It's not really, that's like a small character. It's actually based on Alameda County Supervisor Scott Haggerty. That kind of character.
Uh-huh.
The guy that tries hard. Too hard and kind of unlikable, but likable at the same time.
Isn't he a Republican?
But if you ascribe to the idea of once a Republican, always a Republican, yeah. I think they celebrate his coming out like every September. I think I have a small party probably at the...
Coming out as a Republican? Or?
Yeah, or as a Democrat.
Oh, as a Democrat.
Yeah, because didn't he famously come out like at one of his barbecue thing events, and he came out, and I think that's how it happened. Somebody gave him here's your registration to become a Democrat, and they all went yay.
Yeah, Well, he's a business, pro-business Democrat, right? Yeah. Or, you know, in the old days, they called him Bismos. A business moderate.
Bismo. We got to bring that back.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of people up in Sacramento are Bismos.
You got that right. You got that right. So, let's talk about San Leandro, because that's where you live. That's where I used to live. That's how we met.
23 years.
23 years. Yeah. In the DRO. Is it better than, you think, better than when you first came here?
More diverse, you know? I mean, we're getting more and more and more and more diverse. You know, I've been getting out those signs for this website that I have. And
Yeah, tell your website, because that's what I'm getting at.
SanLeandroElections.org. And, you know, there's a lot of potential for this. I mean, I'm not doing a great job of it, but, you know, you could have the candidates, you could have candidate interviews, then you could interview local people who know a lot about particular issues, and then you get the information out to the general public. There were two debates. First debate was by the League of Women Voters. They may have had 75 people there. Then the Democratic Party had a debate, and they had probably 50 people there. But, you know, through a website, you know, potentially thousands of people could get a glimpse of the candidates.
Yeah, so you have the video. You have the videos of those forums up there.
Well, I get, some of them. I get all the campaigns. I get the mayoral's race. I've got District 3. I get District 1, and I get District 5. I didn't do a good job at District 1 and 5. But you still get a glimpse of the candidates. You know, maybe they answered three questions each. But, you know, like I say, compared to maybe 125 people seeing the debates, you can expand that to thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands.
So you were talking about diversity. There was one, that one forum when District 1 candidate, a gentleman named Ken Pond, they asked him about, you know, about the downtown scene for restaurants. And he's Chinese American, lived here a long time. He's an OG. You can tell he loved growing up here, or he loved being around here. You know, he's like nostalgic kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you remember this? He said, well, you know, we have a lot of Asian restaurants, you know, downtown. You know, and he said the best way to get, you know, other kinds of cuisines is we got to, quote, bring the Europeans back.
Yeah,
should we, Craig?
Huh? You know,
I'm down with sushi.
Yeah, I don't eat sushi, but, you know, there's probably at least 50 Asian restaurants in San Leandro. And, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, if you have that much of a choice. The town that I come from, New Bedford,
you're so white, but you are so Portuguese. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not even Portuguese, though.
But you are. Yeah. If you're from New Bedford, that is like basically Portugal. Uh-huh. People don't know New Bedford is Portugal, basically, right? Like all the signs are Portuguese, all storefronts.
Yeah, there are a lot of Portuguese there. Probably
a lot of women with hairy arms. Of course, men, too. Hairy chests.
Yeah, very hairy people.
We are.
But, you know, there's three Chinese restaurants in New Bedford. And it's the same.
Wow.
And it's the same size. What they have is these things called chow mein sandwiches.
What?
Which is chow mein, and it's East Coast chow mein on a hamburger bun. People think it's gross, but if you live there, you love it.
Is there any sauce on that?
Yeah.
With mayo or?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a crunchy noodle sort of chow mein, and there is a lot of sauce with celery in it, and it soaks up the bun, and it was a real treat. Even Emeril Lagasse used to talk about that.
Oh, I think, I've had that before. Yeah, it's very crunchy. It's kind of like very fried crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a kind of ramen kind of.
Yeah, but in a sandwich form, it's unique.
Yeah, that's not it. The way you said it, I just said it, two buns, and then you just put some sloppy old noodles on there and eat it up. I was like, what the hell? I was about to say, they need to bring the Europeans back in that case. But no, I know I've had that before. It's all right. It's okay. But so, your thoughts, your objective thoughts on the mayor's race.
On the mayor's race?
Pauline Cutter is the mayor. up for re-election. Benny Lee is the council member who is challenging. You got another, you got a Bernie guy, Jeremy Schaefer, and then you got Mr. San Leandro, Dan Double D Dillman, Bell Theater owner.
Yeah, they're all
alien enthusiasts.
Yeah, they're all worthy candidates, you know, in their own right. Benny's got a lot of money, you know. Dan's been putting up a lot of signs everywhere. You know, Pauline, you know, she's got a long history. She's got labor support. She's a woman, and, you know, she's running against three men, so
yes,
that's going to help her out a lot. And Jeremy's got a lot of good ideas. You know, Jeremy's come into this raising the issue of rent control, which
right.
is a very important issue. I think they misunderstand, or, you know, people who have been saying some things about rent control which aren't exactly accurate. Rob Rich said a pretty interesting thing on one of my videos, which is that you need production of new housing, but you need protection of tenants. You know, what we have now is we have wage control, right? Wages haven't gone up for 30 years, right? And yet people talk about rent control as though it's some sort of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wages haven't seen, you know, much of an increase in a real long time. You know, the reference they use a little bit is about three cities. They say Berkeley, San Francisco, and
right.
and Oakland. The thing with Berkeley is that that's a college town, which means you get this influx of students, and that just forces the cost of rent up, because, you know, they stick six people in a one-bedroom apartment or a two-bedroom apartment. You know, you have the same thing in Boston. You know, you have all these colleges there, and, you know, the rents go through the roof because of the students. So that's a very unique situation.
Yeah.
San Francisco is also extremely unique because, you know, it's like this city a lot of people want to live, and you get all these high-tech people who've got money coming out of the ears.
Right.
Who want to live.
You know, it should be noted that this candidate, the Bernie candidate, Jeremy Schaefer, you know, if he wasn't in the race, none of those, the rest of the three, would be talking about anything about rent control, because Cutter and Benny Lee, they're you know, just as the thumbnail, they don't support repealing the Costa Hawkins, and they have said that they're not, that's not the way to, that basically let's do the way we're doing when it comes to, you know, basically no rent control, the rent review kind of thing. And Dan Dillman is really not either, he's not made that a big deal. So am I right, if Jeremy's not there and he comes forcefully, nobody's talking about this.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't have been raised as an issue. I think, though, that, you know, one of the big problems is that we don't have tenant organizations here. You know, if we had tenant organizations, you would get that pressure from tenants.
Right.
That
is a missing thing.
That's what I think we need. And actually, I mean, you know, I work for a tenants organization in Massachusetts. And what I think people should seriously think about is, if 1% of your rent, if you could donate 1% of your rent a month toward a tenant organization, right, then, you know, places all over the Bay Area could have powerful tenant organizations. You know, that's a lot of money. It's like $250 a year that you would be donating. If you had 200 people who did that in San Leandro, then you could have an organization. You could afford to have a full-time organizer. If 300 people did it, I mean, you could be major contributors to the races. So that pressure, you know, you talk about the countervailing forces where without labor, you know, it's hard to fight corporations. I think
right.
if you had tenant organizations that were based on that model, 1% model, you know, I think that you could force any candidate to start to address the housing issue.
Yeah, it's the lack of a organizing like apparatus in San Leandro for tenants is a big hole, because Alameda has it, Alameda Renters Coalition. Now Hayward has the Hayward Collective, so you really do need that other side to, you know, really kind of stick the public officials
yeah.
The other head, because they're already getting stuck on one side, so
yeah.
they need to be stuck on the other to get everybody's attention so we can really move forward. It is a big thing. You notice anything in these council races? You got three incumbents in San Leandro. noticing anything? Because, you know, unless something unforeseen, I think the incumbents for the council, Lee Thomas, Karina Lopez, and Deborah Cox, I don't know. Do you see them faltering anyway? I don't know if I see a scenario. We have ranked choice in San Leandro.
Yeah,
But you have to have a lot of candidates to have it work. Yeah. We don't.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that, you know, they have labor support. You know, and labor, you know, the Democratic Party, local party organizations, they don't do very much at all. It's really the unions who do it. And, you know, they're the people who are door knocking and also, you know, contributing to campaigns. And, all three of those candidates are endorsed by the unions. So they're going to be pretty hard to beat. I mean, you know, I think the Fresh Clean Slate, they're going to put out a few people going door to door. But, you know, with the union support, you know, they get like, I don't know, 50 people going door to door. So it's a big difference.
Yeah.
And it's a significant difference.
Yeah. It rule of thumb, it's pretty hard to beat an incumbent unless they do something like very blatantly crooked.
Yeah.
Like you can run on and everybody goes, oh, yeah. Like, you know, in Oakland, like, what? The council member, cold cocked, civil rights, Black Panther icon, Lane Brown,
yeah.
And cost the taxpayers $2 million because of the lawsuit? That's something. But there isn't anything like that in any of these four races in San Leandro.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like. You know, Pete Stark one time.
Pete Stark.
He was at a Haywood Demo meeting. And he said that, you know, you'd have to screw somebody on the steps of the Capitol and not get elected if you're an incumbent. And, you know, all these people were, you know, they were running from different places who were running as challengers. And, you know, they didn't really feel good about hearing that. And then as it turned around, turned out he was the guy who was the incumbent who actually got beat.
Now, so, Craig, I've always thought of you as... You're kind of like San Leandro's Kramer.
Kramer?
You're like Kramer. You got great ideas.
Yeah.
You got, you know, and you act on it. You do them. And also you're, all the ladies love you, just like
yeah,
Kramer.
Yeah, really. I wish they did.
And so you got, and if you showed some of your ideas right here. You got many ideas. And you got any for any legislation that you've been... You know, maybe because, you know, we have Assemblymember Rob Bonta.
Yeah, Bonta's
Nancy
great guy.
Nancy Skinner.
Yeah.
Maybe Rob Bonta could carry it. You got any bill ideas?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just quickly, I think this website thing that I have, I think that's something that we could do statewide. But also, you know, I was listening to Bill Maher, you know, and just off the cuff.
I love him.
He was saying that, you know, maybe we should use these body cams on priests. And, you know, that could be, I was thinking about it. It's, you know, it's sort of a joke, but I think statewide legislation, Bonta's body cams, right? It's got a ring to it. And, the clergy, they could, we could get them in line.
So, so we could put the camera in the crucifix on their neck.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have mine right here.
Yeah.
And so what would be cool, I mean, they make cameras really small, like pin size, right?
Yeah.
So you can, like, put it, I would say do two. So it's a bigger, like a wider angle, uh-huh. Like you know, and then maybe put the cameras into Jesus's eyes. Mm. They would have meaning, like Jesus watching you.
Yeah, Jesus is watching. You know, and the idea
But theoretically, he's supposed to. That's the thing, man. He's supposed to be watching, and he's watching us right now.
High-tech Jesus. Right.
I think we just got a new business.
You know, I think that could work. But the state could even pay for it. I think the taxpayer wouldn't mind paying for a Jesus crucifix body cam for the clergy.
You think that the bishop, what's his name, Barber? Michael Barber, I think, is the bishop of Oakland. You think he'd go for this? He's a Jesuit. He's a little bit down with it. He's a little liberal.
Yeah, maybe demonstrations in front of his in front of his church or wherever he lives. I mean, how about some street heat for that issue?
But street heat. You know, as a Catholic, I would tell you something right now. I don't say this much. As a Catholic, I feel like this is a hypocrisy, man. These other people, these liberals, they have no problems just saying the most worst things about my religion in front of me, and I'm not supposed to say anything. But as I say the other one, you know, they go, oh, my God, what did you just say? It's like free reign on Catholics, man. What's up? Are you Catholic, too? You got to be, because you're Portuguese by association. Being of New Bedford.
Yeah, I went to Catholic school, grammar school. You know, in grammar school,
they're out to get us, man.
You know, the nuns were out to get me. Actually, Craig isn't a saint's name, right? And so they refused to call me Craig. They called me William Craig.
Really?
Because Williams was. And so, you know, since then I was a sort of a deviant. You know, I would never pay attention to the nuns. You know, they'd say, William Craig, and I would just go, who the hell is she talking about? It's true.
So, while we're on the subject, because, I have this guy, he's adamant in Alameda. He's adamant that, you know, the cathedral in Oakland, the Catholic cathedral, it's right by Lake Merritt, right? So that's a little body of water. He's adamant to say that's a nuclear reactor, actually. And the water from the Lake Merritt cools the reactor. Could there be anything
I don't know,
to that? It sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
it looks like a reactor.
Does it keep people away from church? Or, you know, the church is in the decline.
Church is radioactive.
You know, they got two strikes against them already. You know, this could really be the... the final death blow.
So when are we going to get this legislation up to Rob Bonta?
You know, everybody who's listening to this should write a letter to Bonta about this. You know, write a letter. We could have a town hall meeting, and we could see how it goes. You know, but plus, you know, Jerry Brown can't be too happy with the Catholic Church. He was a Jesuit, or he studied with the Jesuits, and. You know, who knows? You know, he might fast track this issue. But if it starts here, I mean, it could start here at Zocalo's and have international repercussions.
They're going to have a movie about this moment right here. This is how it's going to start.
It all started here.
And who's going to play you? I want to say, who could play you? I'm not sure. Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. I don't know who that is.
And
who is going to be you?
You remember that guy from Burger King commercials a long time ago? This is 80s. His name was Herb, and they were like, "Where's Herb?" Remember that? And they were like, you had to go to the Burger King to see, like, if Herb was there, you got like some kind of prize.
I can see it.
I don't even know where that came from. Do you remember? Retweet this if you listen to the podcast, if you remember that commercial with Herb. But anyway, Craig?
I used to flatter myself. I thought I looked a little like Chris Christopherson.
Yes, you do.
You're like a fat Chris Christopherson. An overweight Chris Christopherson.
You do. Well, then who do I look like?
You're a good-looking dude, you know? That's why you post so much stuff on Facebook.
That's why.
You get that charisma.
That's...
You and Brian Azevedo.
Well, you know... I'm, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know. He's from Madeira.
Oh, yeah?
And so is half my family.
You're in Madeira?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I actually say I'm biracial. Now, you know this. You probably know about this. I'm biracial, I tell people. Because my father's side is from Azores, Pico.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom's side is from Madeira. Oh, and those are rivals, right? am I right? They don't like each other.
Yeah, you know.
Like the Portuguese redneck. So those people in continental Europe... Both of us, though, both of those groups, they look up and they go, those people from the continent, they're all snobs, right? We're like Alabama.
Uh-huh.
We're like from Madeira. But within that, they don't like each other. So I was born from hate.
You were born from what?
Hate.
Hate. You know, you're like another great journalist, Robert Scheer. His mother was Jewish and his father was German.
Oh.
You know, you get that.
Well, that one's clear. Everybody knows that one.
But that's true about Madeiras and Azores. I was doing something.
Which one do I see more?
Huh?
You must know people from Madeira and people from Azores. Which one do I see more like?
You look like
the way I act, or the way
Madeira. You're more Madeira.
Thank you. I think so. The telltale sign is that I know how to read.
Yeah,
because you know the Azores side, they're hard workers, man.
Yeah,
the Azores people are the hard workers, and Madeira, they're more like, you know, let's drink some wine, let's have some carne spit, let's have a barbecue, you know, and let's talk about stuff, let's get it on.
You know,
play
the
some
Portuguese
music.
People. There's this book about the Portuguese people about you know, how they were really the first globalists. You know, they saw the world, and, you know, Portugal comes from the word port, you know, it's a port country, and they saw the world as a planet of ports. You know, this port had, you know, this, and this port had, you know, just different materials and,
right,
you know, different foods, and they just, that's how they saw the world, you know, and it's an interesting perspective, but they were like the first globalists. The first people they traded with were the English. The English had cloth, and the Portuguese had port wine. So this trade was pretty interesting. And before then, people used to only have like one or two pairs of clothes. So if you could get this cloth, all of a sudden you had five or six or, you know, 10 pairs of pants. Maybe not that many, but, you know, you could increase your wardrobe by 200%. You know, that was an exciting thing.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I always tell people, it's like, did your people ever rule the planet? Oh, I guess not. Back of the line. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if they ruled it. But.
Are you? Who would be the one? If you're Italian, Roman, English, Dutch, Spanish, Portuguese, Merca. Anybody else rule the world? At one point, so if you're not those, back of the line. Am I right?
That's a nice attitude.
And you're honorary. And you're honorary.
Honorary. Yeah, actually, I'm a Polish and mongrel.
Yeah, you know what I always say too. Like, you always talk about these, like these, you know, some famous baseball trades that are like the worst trades ever. You know, oh my God, why did they do that? Like when George W. Bush owned the Rangers, he traded Sammy Sosa to the Cubs, and then Sammy Sosa, you know, went crazy.
Yeah.
Bad trade, right? I always think the worst trade of all time was the deal we made with Spain to cut the world in half, and we end up with Brazil. That was a raw deal, man. Because, you know, if it was flipped,
yeah,
everybody would be talking like Portuguese more than it wouldn't be just New Bedford. It'd be the whole like East Coast.
Fado music would be like at the top of the charts, right?
Those Mexican people would be speaking Portuguese, man.
That'd be an interesting combination.
But we got Brazil, man.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, once again, the great Craig Williams of San Leandro. Thanks for coming on, man. This has been very entertaining.
We didn't get into my serious issues like district elections and CPDP.
You're coming back.
Yeah,
you're coming back, man. You're coming back again. But SanLeandroElections.org. Check that out.
Yep.
And thanks for coming on, man. Well, we'll see you around the campus.
It was an honor. Kumpa.
Pelos caminhos da Califórnia, vi coisas lindas que me encantam. Vi ricos campos, mas que